One of the things that my undergraduate work in psychology taught me is that you can develop a so-called completely blind randomized trial study that meets all the gold standards and still have one of those studies where you've basically set it up to confirm whatever biases you've built into it. I've had some pretty harrowing experiences in a capstone class for a psychology program that was discussing biases against certain groups of individuals. And just reading the way the studies that were being cited were put together was pretty obvious that they were going for a certain outcome, and that was the outcome they got. So I'm not gonna lie. When I read about studies, I am aware that there are so many different factors that go into it, including something called confounding variables, which are those things that we can't control for. And so I kind of give them all side eye. But there have been a lot of scientific studies about Reiki. And as a Reiki practitioner myself and somebody who finds benefit from it, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about how energy work in general, not just Reiki, can actually affect our mental health. So welcome to this week's episode of the Feathermane Soul Wisdom Podcast. You're listening to Feathermane Soul Wisdom, a podcast designed for people looking to live embodied lives and find their authentic selves. This show is hosted by Kit Kailstow, body theologian and spiritual mentor. If you're looking to get in touch with your inner spirit, then this show is for you. Thanks for listening. And now, this week's show. Welcome back to the Feathermane Soul Wisdom Show. It's been a couple of weeks. I took a break off for the holidays and the new year, but I am back with a new episode. And before I go too much further, if you've listened to the introduction, I just kind of want to confirm that I don't 100% dismiss scientific studies. I am simply aware that there could be biases built into them, as well as not every study is created equal. That there are better ways and worse ways to construct a scientific study. And what I have found is that for those who are baked into the pathology paradigm of mental health, in other words, that a mental illness that is listed in the DSM, the Diagnostics and Standards Manual, is an illness, it is maladaptive behavior, which is the umbrella term that psychology uses pretty much full stop for anything that doesn't conform to societal or cultural norms. And I am painfully aware, as a neurodivergent individual, the ways in which my brain works that are being categorized as maladaptive behaviors, or even something like my anxiety, which I manage quite well. I live with, I use a bunch of tools to manage, including medication, that my anxiety, by those who are in the pathology paradigm, pretty much has been written off as something that's bad for me. When the truth is, you know, panic attacks aren't fun. When my anxiety is amping up, it's not fun. But it also comes from past life lessons. And there's a part of me that uses the anxiety or the worrying to protect me. And that protection is not a bad thing. The part of your body that wants to protect you, you know, I'm not going to say it's your intuition. To me, it's a different part of my psyche. But when you think about family systems or internalized systems, that part that wants to protect you isn't doing so because it's trying to misbehave or trying to do anything bad. It is legitimately wanting to protect you from an experience. And it's just an experience that may or may not happen depending on where you are in your life. So, you know, before I start talking about energy work and mental health, I just kind of wanted to let everybody know that I'm not anti-psychology. I'm not anti-medical studies, but I feel like if you're not willing to look at a more integrated or holistic approach, then there's a chance that those studies can be biased towards a certain outcome. And that outcome is usually what you want to promote. So, you know, let me kind of just set that all aside and talk about energy work and mental health. To me, our mental health is not separate from our physical health. When we feel mental health symptoms, and it doesn't matter what name you give it, if you have an actual diagnosis, you quite often feel those symptoms in your body. You know, when you deal with anxiety, like for me, when I get really anxious, my cheeks, I'll have but my cheeks start getting hot. Or my heart starts feeling like it's skipping beats or pounding. When you're dealing with anxiety, sometimes you have a tremor. When you're dealing with depression, a lot of times you hurt and just kind of feel and not good and you don't want to get out of bed. Those are physical responses. And when we're looking at that integrated approach to mental health and a complementary approach to mental health, we cannot really ignore or look out for those physical health responses. It's all one thing. It's all our bodies. And this goes into the yoga philosophy, thinking about koshas or the body sheaths, where you have your physical body, your mental emotional body, your deeper mental intuitive body, your spiritual body, and then your bliss body, which is kind of that part of you that you might want to term spirit or soul or higher self. And so they're all part of the same being. You just have different layers. And so to me, an integrated approach to mental health works on those different layers. There are a couple of studies that I am going to link to in the show notes just as a place to get you started. And the first is from the National Institutes of Health, where it says, does Reiki benefit mental health symptoms above a placebo? And the evidence does suggest that Reiki consistently demonstrates a greater therapeutic effect over placebo for some symptoms of mental health. The second study is also from the National Institutes of Health. The first one was from 2022. This one is from 2017. And it talks about Reiki as being a safe and gentle way to activate the parasympathetic nervous system via deep relaxation. So there's also been some studies based on yoga nidra, and there is a yoga nidra retreat on the website. Please feel free to sign up. It is a 7-day free yoga nidra experience. Allows you to try it out, allows you to learn a little bit more about yoga nidra. So yoga nidra is not energy work, but it's a different way to achieve a deep relaxation and to activate that parasympathetic nervous system, because that's really the key. Over with my writing author hat on, I talk about the creative nervous system, which is the interplay between our intuition, our creativity, our muse, so to speak, and our nervous system, both parasympathetic and sympathetic. Here at Feather Mane Soul, I kind of take that writer author hat off and speak more generally, especially to my neurodivergent community, and talk a little bit more about animal wisdom and energy work and yoga and spirituality and how all of that kind of goes together. And this is part of that. And so for me and for the work I do here, activating the parasympathetic nervous system via Reiki, via energy work, via another modality such as yoga nidra, that actually does help us with our mental health and in turn with our spirituality. And let me elaborate on that a little bit. One of the ways in which we feel disconnected from our spirituality, and you can take that word however you wish. For me, I'm just speaking more general, a connection to something greater than ourselves, outside of ourselves. It can be inside of ourselves as well, but it is something kind of beyond our physical existence. And when you're anxious, when you're stressed, when your mental health isn't the best, you can feel very isolated and very cut off from that. And so anything that causes relaxation, that engages the parasympathetic nervous system, that can connect us with our mental health and engage that parasympathetic nervous system, actually helps us with our spirituality because it helps us feel less alone. It shifts us into a mindset where, and I'm just going to use Reiki for an example since I'm a Reiki master, Reiki being universal life force energy or chi as we're taught, then that Reiki universal life force energy, that is something outside of ourselves. Now, you can do Reiki from a purely secular standpoint, and many Reiki practitioners do, and there's no spirituality that they bring into it at all. But when you're doing energy work and connecting with that universal energy, no matter whether it's Reiki or another modality or just general energy work, then you're connecting with something that's beyond your physical body. And so to me, that connects you with your spirituality based on the dictionary definition of spirituality. What it also does is very important, because something that I have realized and that I wish to share with everybody is that for all that you hear the word healing, Reiki can heal, energy work can heal, yoga can heal, everything can heal. The truth of the matter is, healing is not the Band-Aid process that everybody makes it sound like. Healing is very much ongoing. And if you think of the healing paradigm, and I try not to because of how the word's kind of been bastardized, and healing implies that there's an endpoint when the truth is we're really on this journey constantly, and it's just a matter of connecting with yourself more, engaging your parasympathetic nervous system, your nervous system, your mental faculties, engaging those more, and really just getting to know yourself better. It's, you know, it's an onion without a center where you're constantly peeling back layers, or a series of nesting dolls where there's no final doll. You're just constantly learning yourself, learning about yourself more and more and more, and learning to deal with the things that happen to you, learning to integrate them, to let them go, to whatever you need to do, whatever calls healing. That this kind of life healing or this kind of mental health work, it's not like a cut where once the cut's healed, most of the time you don't even think about it. It's not even like a broken bone where once the bone's healed, sometimes it twinges, but most of all, you don't really think about it. It's something that's just kind of an ongoing introspective type process. And to me, I don't think that that process can begin until you are in a place where you are not constantly dysregulated or constantly reactive. And I'm not saying that to discourage anybody, because you can indeed very much start the work when you're in that place. That's what going to therapy does. That's what using meditation, medication as well, yoga, Reiki. You can start to use those modalities no matter where you are in this process. But there comes a point, and you know, to be honest, for me, that point has happened fairly recently, where I finally was able to string together enough regulated days and weeks and months where I was able to sit back and go, oh, wow, that's where I was. That's what I dealt with. That's why. And it was like somebody flipped on a light switch, but I had to get to that engaged, regulated space where I wasn't constantly reacting or using my tools to try to get back to center. I had to actually be in center, be in the eye of the storm, so to speak, to find that eye and stay in there for a while. So that way I could actually acknowledge what was going on and have the space to breathe and look around and see what's going on. And to me, that's where Reiki or energy work modalities that introduce the deep level of relaxation. And I would add on to this meditation, although depending on your life experiences, for example, if you have chronic or non-chronic PTSD, sometimes a lot of meditation can be triggering, especially if you're trying to control your breath. And so that's why I prefer yoga nidra, because yoga nidra is something that just about everybody I've encountered can do, because it is a static process. You're not moving. It's not yoga with postures, but also because you're not really controlling your breath and you're focusing awareness in your body. So your mind is also less apt to wander. It does. And that's okay. That's perfectly normal. But it's not so much the think of things that are going on. For example, I've been working with a meditation technique specifically for chronic PTSD. And the technique is helpful, but it's also a little bit more prone to mind wandering or feeling like you're doing it wrong. To me, it's a little more advanced than yoga nidra. So for energy work, Reiki can be done either distance or in person. I like to do distance attunements because I feel like I am more relaxed and more able to be a channel for the energy if I'm in my comfortable environment. You are more likely to be receptive if you're in your comfortable environment. And Reiki can also be done synchronously. In other words, I'm sending Reiki, you're receiving Reiki through the distance. Or it can be done asynchronously, where I basically put a packet of Reiki into the universe that you then draw down into yourself. And so depending on how you do that, you can make sure that you have really set the stage to having a relaxing experience, to take that time to focus on yourself. Or it can be done, okay, my appointment's now, I'm going to Reiki sort of thing. And the reason why I like that is, first of all, Reiki, as I said, can be done secularly, does not have to involve any spirituality. It works with the universal life force energy. And so a lot of the dogma or barriers that we might have to various types of work aren't there with Reiki. The other thing with Reiki is that it is a time to focus on the body and time to focus on you. And so when you engage that deep feeling of relaxation, when you engage that feeling of safety, of calmness, that's going to engage that parasympathetic nervous system, which will help reduce your stress levels, induce relaxation, induce a kind of inner peace that even if you only feel it for the duration of the treatment, that is a way to kind of bring the system back down to baseline or bring the system down to where you can center and ground yourself. I love to do Reiki with other modalities as well. I'll get into that probably in a future podcast. But for me, energy work, and again, there are tons of modalities out there. I am currently pursuing a couple of additional modalities, but it has actually been studied and it has been shown to help. And it is one of the few complementary medicine practices where a lot of mainstream science is going, hey, there's something here. And so that's another reason why I like to talk about Reiki and as a form of energy work to do with your mental health, because if somebody is skeptical, there are those studies out there. And I would encourage you to look for more if that's something you're interested in. So, I think a good lesson to kind of leave us with is that there is no one single way to regulate our nervous system. There is no one single way to connect with spirituality. There's no one single way to do anything. And so that's, you know, I talked about the spiritual banquet, the toolbox, where I have a bunch of different tools in my toolbox or different plates on the banquet. So we can figure out what works best for you. And that's where working with somebody like myself really would help you to figure out what works best in your toolkit. So as we close up this week's podcast, I want to encourage you to go out to feathermanesoul.com. There should be a little pop-up message that has you try the Yoga Nidra retreat. I encourage you to sign up for that. It lasts for 7 days. It's free, and you can watch those videos. Each one is about 20 minutes over the course of a week to get a feel for Yoga Nidra. If you're curious about Reiki, if you're curious about doing more, I encourage you to reach out to me. There is a link there in the shop to book a discovery call. We can chat, see what we can do. So I want to thank you so much for listening to this week's show. I want to thank you so much for being here. I wish you a gentle week. I wish you a kind week. And take care until we speak again on the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kailstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. Kit's passionate about embodied living and finding authentic joy by connecting with yourself and others. Kit loves working with neurodivergent, chronically ill, or disabled individuals, as well as anyone who wants to reclaim the stories and find new stories for them. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting the podcast website and following the links to Muse Charmer. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow the podcast at your favorite podcast listening or social media site. Thank you.